Claire.
Start your day at the Turaway, Northwest London. Friday, 13th of Teves. 6th of January, Rabbi Yaakov Ben Zaken, Shlita. Various themes on Parshas Vayechi. This week's Torah is sponsored, Refuah Shleima Shel Elio Ben Handel, Nero Yoir, Sheyizkeh Refuah Shleima B'Kor B'Sof Sh'or Chulei Yisrael, Amen.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to start with a beautiful thing I heard, a very short thing. It's actually about last week's Parsha, but it's a nice vort. It says that when Yosef HaTzadik reveals himself to the brothers, he says, Ve'achareichem dibru echav ito. And afterwards, the brothers spoke with him. What did he tell them? What did they tell him? Normally, the Torah doesn't tell us that two people are speaking unless the Torah tells us what exactly was going on in that discussion, in that conversation. But here the Torah simply says, Ve'achareichem dibru echav ito. So there's an organization in the United States called ACO, A-K-O, Association of Kashrus Organizations, which gathers together kashrus organizations and they sit around the table and discuss different things, policies, etc. I now work for a federation as a rabbinic coordinator of kashrus, so therefore I'm involved with this organization as well. And the first meeting they ever had, where they sat together, the kashrus organizations, around the same table, it was in the house of Shimon Schwab. And when they sat together, Rav Shimon Schwab, it was Parshas Vayigash, and Rav Shimon Schwab said like this. He said, when Yosef was telling the dreams to his brothers at the very beginning, the pasuk says, "Ve'lo yachelu davero l'shalom." They couldn't speak to him b'shalom. They couldn't talk to each other without getting into arguments, without one pshat, yeah? In the simple pshat. "Lo yachelu davero l'shalom." So this was the tikkun, says Rav Schwab. The tikkun was, after he revealed himself to the brothers, it doesn't matter what they spoke, they were able to speak. They were able to sit together and talk to each other, b'shalom. That's what the Torah is telling us. And therefore the message, the subject of the communication is irrelevant. The problem, the issue was that now they could sit together and they could talk. It's a beautiful idea. Now, when Yosef brings his children to Yaakov. Yaakov asks, he wants to be mevarech, he wants to give a bracha to his Yosef's children. He says, and he starts off, Vayar Yisrael es b'nei Yosef vayomer mi eile. Who are these? I mean, he didn't know. It says that Chazal say that they were Meshamish. Yaakov, why is he asking me Eile? And what's the answer? Vayomer Yosef el Aviv, Banai hem, they're my children, Ashenatani Elokim Bazeh, Vayomar kachem na elai v'abarachem, bring them to me, and I will give them a bracha. And what's the bracha? So the bracha later on is telling them, well, actually, even before, but it says, okay, Ephraim uch Mnashet, Reuven, Ephraim Umnashe ki Reuven veShimon yiyuli. So I saw a beautiful, I heard a beautiful idea. This is Rabbi Sabato, right? Israel. He said a beautiful idea. He said, when the Malach appears to Yaakov and is fighting with Yaakov, at the end of that struggle, the Malach asks Yaakov, Mashemecha. Vayomer Yaakov. Why is he asking what your name is? And then it's going to change the name. Lo Yaakov Yamer Ot Shimcha. He knew his name was Yaakov. Why is he asking him, what's your name? He needs to hear from Yaakov, my name is Yaakov, and then not Yaakov should be your name. He said that whenever you make a Shinui Hashem, you first have to mention the original name. The original name has to be established, and then you go ahead and you take that name and you either add to it or you change it. But you first have to establish, and it has to be confirmed, what the original status is. So he says here too, Yaakov Avinu wanted to change the status of Ephraim and Menashe. Until now, you were Bnei Yosef. You were not Shvatim. You were simply the sons of Shvatim. So he brings them in front. He says, who are these? Mi Eile. Meaning, he wants Yosef to establish who they are. It says, Banayhem. They're my children. Meaning, they're my children and not Shvatim. And therefore, Yaakov, when he gives them the bracha, he's giving them the bracha to make them into Shvatim. He's about to make them into Shvatim. So he wants to first reiterate that until now they're not Shvatim, they're just Banai, Bnei Yosef. And therefore now he says, no, they're not just Bnei Yosef, they're going to be Shvatim now. They have a different status. So to elevate the status, to give them that shame, so to speak, of Shvatim, therefore he needs Yaakov to first say what they are and to introduce them. Now, when he brings them in front, the famous issue that many, many speak about, of the switching of the hands. So, let's... V'eine Yisrael kabdu mizoken lo yuchal lirot, he couldn't see, v'yagesh otam ela, v'yishak lahem, v'chabek lahem, he embraces them, he kisses them, He hugs them. Vayomer Yisrael Yosef, re'of anecha lofiyat. Okay. And vayikach Yosef et shneihem. So Yosef takes them both. Which is interesting. Actually, the order here seems a bit strange. He kisses them. He hugs them. And then Yosef brings them to his father. Something is amiss over here. So... ויקח יוסף את שניהם, את אפרים ימינו משמאל ישראל, ואת בנשה בשמאלו מימין ישראל, ויגש אליו, and he puts them in front, and the Torah is very particular about the position of them, וישלח ישראל את ימינו, וישת על ראש אפרים, והוא הבכור, והוא הצעיר. He puts his hands over, he leans over to the left to put his right hand, and then likewise the other way around for Menashe. But the first thing is, the first question I saw asked, who cares what hand is it? What does the hand provide? What does the left versus the right hand provide in terms of the bracha? Al pipshat. If you saw it, I'm sure there's plenty of stuff. Al pipshat, what's the difference? And actually, Rav Moshe Feinstein says a wonderful thing. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that there is no difference between the right and the left in terms of the power of the bracha. The power of the bracha is the same. Whether it's the right hand or the left hand. So if that's the case, so why switch? So what is the point of switching of the hands? Says Rav Moshe that it's a siman of kavod. It's a display of kavod. The right hand is the main hand that a person uses, and therefore it's a more mechubad, and therefore by placing that hand, you are demonstrating greater kavod to Ephraim, by putting the right hand on his head, and to Menashe, left hand. And where does this kavod come from? The kavod comes because he says, I know he's going to be great, but Achiv HaGadol Yigdal Mimen. Achiv HaKaton Yigdal Mimen, sorry. The younger one will be greater. And since he's going to have descendants that are going to be greater, I need to be mechabed him more. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein from here, that we learn a lesson. We always should be focused on giving kavod to our children and realizing that we need to raise our children, and it's a positive thing to raise our children so that we are honored and we are honored by them, and that they have the potential to grow into greatness. So by focusing on the kavod, that the fact that they can be great, by demonstrating kavod to what they can become, we are encouraging them and pushing them to be greater, and we should never lose sight of this. Never lose sight of this. And with this, Rav Moshe Feinstein explains, Vayeshev Yaakov, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev Beshalva, Kaf Atzalav Rogzo Shal Yosef, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that Yaakov wanted to sit b'shalva. What does it mean, sit b'shalva? What was he going to do? Was he going to go to the spa? Yaakov, you know, obviously was going to sit and learn. Was going to be involved in Dvarim Ruchniyim, Kedusha. He says, b'kash Yaakov yeleshev b'shalva with regards to raising his children. He thought, I've accomplished my goal, my kids are good kids. And then kafatz alav rogzo shel Yosef, now he realizes, Yosef's whole parsha begins, and he realizes his chinuch, his job with his children is far from finished. And that's what he says. And therefore, he HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you can never let go. You can never let go of the influence that you have on your children and your responsibility to make them great and to invest in them and to encourage them until the very end. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu was taught, unfortunately, in a difficult way, was taught this lesson by the whole episode of Yosef. He realized until the very, very end, he has to really encourage them. And now, if you look back, now we see that Yaakov Avinu learned the lesson so much that when he came to his grandchildren, to Menashe and Ephraim, when he gives them a bracha, he even wants to stress... Huh?
It's the wrong way.
I'm sorry?
He goes the wrong way with his grandchildren again. Same mistake. Well, Ephraim
and Menashe. No. The problem of Yosef and his brothers was not that he didn't pay attention to the jealousy. We're not talking about the jealousy. Stop. We're saying that in terms of the greatness, he did not necessarily feel that he still had to fully invest in the grace. Bikesh Yaakov Leshe B'Shalva, so to speak, with regards to that. And therefore, Kafat HaRav Rogzo Shel Yosef.
But he asked my God, he's making an other brother jealous that only Yosef chose not coming Shvatim and not...
I understand. But I think by now, the brothers might have learned the lesson and Yaakov Avinu has some sort of understanding that he's... That Yosef has.
But the bracha that Menashe wasn't jealous of Ephraim.
Oh, that's one of the chatim of Ephraim and Menashe, right? Now, so that's with regards to this. Now, there's an interesting he'ara I heard this week about the use of the word key. The pasuk says, "Vayishlach Yitzhar et Yamino vayashed al Rosh Ephraim, vehu ha'tzair." So he puts, as we said, the hand on right hand on the Ephraim, because vehu hatzair, and he is the younger one. Ve'etzemolo al rosh Menashe, and the left one on Menashe's head. Sikel et yadav, he switched his hand, so to speak, crossed his hands. Ki Menashe ha-bechor, because Menashe is a bechor. Now, is that the right word? The right use of the word ki? He twisted his hands because Menashe is a bechor. No. It should be the opposite, despite the fact that he's a bechor.
Key can mean although, and then it would
mean. The key, when the Gemara discusses the different meanings of key, afal pi is not one of them. However, some Rishonim point out in Tehillim, etc., that it could be understood as afal pi, but it's interesting the Gemara doesn't, the Midrash does not seem to suggest this as a posh pshat. But some say like that. But I want to share with you the pshat of the Emek Dover on this. And Emek Dover has a fascinating mahalach here. And the first thing he points out is as follows. If he's so preoccupied and disturbed by the order or the position left and right of Menashe and Ephraim, why doesn't he say to Yosef, please, could you switch them around? Do you mind? Put Ephraim to my right and Menashe to my left. Why does he have to switch the hands?
He thinks he's left-handed.
Yeah. If you want to do it right and your peida is that somehow you want Ephraim to be on your right, then instead of switching your hands, just tell Yosef when he's bringing them closer, he says, please, could you move them around? Can you switch them around? And then he'll give him the bracha just like that. Why is he not doing this? Says the Emek Dover that when you have them in front, assuming Yaakov was sitting there, standing, as they're in front of him, the legs the right leg of Yaakov is closer to whom? To Menashe. The left leg is closer to Ephraim. He switches his hands. The legs are in the right position of Bechorus, of order, but it's only the hands that switch around. So says the Emek Dover that the hands and the feet represent two different things. That the feet represent a derech heretz, represents the mila de ara, represents the physical things, the existence of the physical world. With regards to that, Menashe is still the Bechor. Menashe still retains his status as the older one. It's only with regards to the hands, which are closer to the head, which represent the ma'asim, the mitzvahs, and represents the seichel. With regards to the hands, is Ephraim has a priority over Menashe. And therefore, sikelet yadav ki Menashe ha-bechor. And the Pashup Shad is beautiful now. He turned his hands and he didn't switch them around because Menashe was a Bechor and therefore he had to stand by the feet. The right feet of Yaakov had to be closer to Menashe. Ki Menashe a Bechor. Now, it's a beautiful idea. It fits in the Pasuk. But listen to this. He says, if you look later in the Chumash, you find something very interesting. In Bamidbar, when the first census of Klal Yisrael appears, it's a census in Parshas Bamidbar, we find Livnei Yosef le'Ephraim Todotam le'Mishpechotam le'Beit Avotam, and then Livnei Menashe. First Ephraim is placed and then Menashe. This is at the beginning of Bamidbar. This is after the Mishkan has been completed, and we're basically speaking about the position of Klal Yisrael from the point of view of Ruchnius in the desert. When we do a second count in Pinchas, which is before coming into Eretz Yisrael, which is about the physical inheritance of Eretz Yisrael, it says, B'nai Yosef le'mishpechotam Menashe ve'Ephraim. B'nai Menashe, Menashe is first. Why is Menashe first here? Says the Emek Dover, Menashe is first here because this is before they come into Eretz Yisrael, this is about the physical things, this is about the Gashmir, so to speak, and therefore with regards to that, Menashe is first. In Parshas Bamidbar, when the Mishkan is completed, that's with regards to the Ruchnius position of all of Klal Yisrael. Ephraim is mentioned first and then Menashe. But in Parshas Pinchas, when he's right before entering Eretz Yisrael, which is about the physical things, there Menashe is placed before Ephraim. I mean, who paid attention to the order of this, right? Obviously, the Emek Dover paid attention and kept it in mind. And when he understood, when he saw, and then the pasuk is ends up building very, very fits in very, very beautifully. So that's with regards to the pshat ki Menashe ha-bechor now is resolved. Why he explains it like that? There's another idea I want to share with you, which is in the Or Gedaliahu. The Or Gedaliahu points out the following. He says, the pasuk at the end of the brachos, Kolele Shivte Yisrael Shnei Masar, Vezois Asher Diber Lahem Avihem, and Ish Asher Kebirchato Berach Otam. Otam means each one according to the bracha, he blessed them. Rashi points out over there that first he gave a bracha to each and every one of them individually, and then he kalal l'skulam, he brought them all together, joined them together in a bracha, that each one should also get the bracha of the other. So each one has an offer, each one has a particular perspective, has a particular quality. And with regards to that quality, he gave them a bracha. And then you need to also unite all of them. And each one has to be able to connect with the other one. And that's how you get Klal Yisrael. So he says like this. The name Yaakov relates, he says, to the parts. He says, Yud Akev. The Yud is the Chochmah, he says. And is mispashet to all of the body. all the way down to the akev, all the way down to the heel. So it's about the bracha arriving and reaching each and every limb of the body. So the first part of the bracha is each one its own. And then he says Yisrael is a Shem Koilim. Yisrael is the name of the togetherness of the group of Klal Yisrael when they're fused together. And that's the second level of the Klal, which is the second part of the bracha. Now, when Klal Yisrael, when Bnei Yisrael, when the Shvatim exist, they each have to complement each other. But it's not just that they complement each other. It's not just that each one does what they're supposed to do. It's not all. Not just that each one develops what they represent. But it's also that after they develop what each one represents, if they don't interconnect, and what each one is doesn't play and help and fuse and form a greater whole, then they cannot replicate what Yaakov Avinu is. Yaakov Avinu is the Klalius. Yisrael, the Shem Yisrael is the Klalius. And it breaks down into 12 different parts, and 12 different perspectives, and 12 different approaches, and 12 different qualities. Each one of them, unless they're together, they're not going to be able to replicate and pass down really what Yisrael was about. This reminded me of Rav Dessler explains similarly the issue of Rabbi Akiva and his students. Rabbi Akiva represents, and there's no coincidence about Yaakov and Akiva being pretty much the same letters besides the Aleph or Hey, depends how you garish the name Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva was passing on Torah Shebal Peh, he was the Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, of Torah Shebal Peh. When Rabbi Akiva was passing Torah, he was teaching it to his students, to his Talmidim. And Chazal say that the Mageifa came and the disaster came because Shelonagu covered Zebeze. And what is the Chisaron here? So Rav Dessler explained it like this. When you have the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, and that Torah has to pass down to the next generation, each one of the Talmidim received what his connection and what his Shoresh Neshama connects with Rabbi Akiva, with the Torah. And therefore, to pass down the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, the complete Torah of Rabbi Akiva, it's not enough to pass down the individual parts to each of the Talmidim. It has to be that the Talmidim themselves are united. The Talmidim themselves, their Torah is a Torah that complements each other and forms a greater whole, which is the whole of Rabbi Akiva. If lo nagu kavod ze baze, when I'm not noy kavod to you, I don't respect your opinion, then your opinion and my opinion can never be together. And therefore, the connection of the Torah of each of the Talmidim could never exist properly. And that was a chisaron in the transmission of the Torah of Rabbi Akiva. You can't have Rabbi Akiva anymore, Rabbi Akiva's Torah. That would be a breakdown of Rabbi Akiva's Torah. And therefore, that's why they perished, because the Torah of Rabbi Akiva could not continue, could not pass down. They didn't allow it to pass down in this, so to speak, in the same form as Rabbi Akiva. And the same issue here with Bnei Yaakov, meaning when the next generation comes, he wants to be a continuation of the previous one. It has to be that if it breaks down, those pieces are going to be connected together. Those pieces are going to form the whole that was once really a whole, but they're forming that whole through the achdus between them. And this is what was lacking. This is the bracha. This is the second part of the bracha. The second part of the bracha that he gave a bracha of Yisrael to Kulam, to all of them together, is that the brachas that I gave you individually should fuse and should form a whole, and with this you can pass it down fully to the next generation. And he says that this is also the idea behind Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That Shema Yisrael, whenever the brothers could say Hashem Elokeinu, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that is bringing a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, the Achdus, that is taking the Chelik of each and every one of them and bring it together. And only in the situation where it's taka, all of them properly together, can you say Baruch Shem Kivol Malchus Le'olam Vayed aloud, because now the Achdus is properly there. And that's why from then on we can't say it, because that is chaser. That ability to complete one another fully is not quite there. Why on Yom Kippur? Maybe the lack of a Yitzhar on Yom Kippur maybe allows us to do that. But this is one of the things that he finishes off. I think we have four minutes? Okay. A few years ago, I was a friend of mine was getting engaged around this week, and he was looking for the parsha, and we asked the question about the right and the left, and what difference did it make, and why did Yaakov Avinu give the bracha to the one who was going to be greater, put the right hand to the one who was going to be greater? So, in our society now, we ask always, you should push the one who's lower. So, if this one's going to be greater, why not give the bigger push to the one who's not going to be as great? So maybe they catch up with each other. Maybe they're equal. Right? So that was the question we had. And the answer we gave at the time we thought about it was as following. A bracha means hispashtus. It means overflow. That's what a brecha, an irrigation pool, is about. Now, brecha is used for a swimming pool. But a real pool is an irrigation pool, which basically fills up and then overflows, and then that's how it irrigates the lands beyond it. So a bracha is to take something that's there, to pinpoint something that's there, and to show or display the wish that should increase to the point of overflow. So the greatness of the sons of Menashe and Ephraim, the tachlis, the challenges and the place in history of Klal Yisrael that they were going to play was already predestined. They had the mission. He's going to be great means he has a mission which is going to be a more difficult mission. And therefore he needs a bigger push because he's going to have greater challenges. The bracha is that potential which you have should bring it to fruition, should expand, and should flourish, and should overflow. So the bracha doesn't give you what you don't have. A bracha cannot give you something you don't have. A bracha is that which is there, which is yours, which is part of you, should multiply, should overflow, should increase. And therefore, Yaakov realizes that in terms of the future, in Nevuah, he realizes the future of his children is such that Menashe is going to have children who are going to have certain challenges, and Ephraim is going to have children who have different challenges, and the challenges that the children of Ephraim are going to have are going to be greater challenges, which will result in them becoming greater if they overcome those challenges. And therefore he gives them the bracha with the right hand, assuming that actually gives them a greater push, because they are destined, so to speak, to have greater challenges, so that, therefore to give them the push will be able to overcome and to manage and to flourish those with those challenges. Have a good Shabbos. Rabbi Hananya, thank you. It's all good for me. Look at this. Amen.